Oftentimes, I think that we are, when we think about the work of the Lord, rather than what we read there in the sixth chapter of Isaiah, where he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me," we have a tendency to say, "Here he is, send him." We ought to, as God's people, we ought to gladly do the work of the Lord. The Bible teaches us that we are to serve him with gladness. I appreciate the good song. I want to ask for your prayers today, and I want to share a scripture reading that's relatively short. If you want to read along with me, turn to the first epistle of John. In the first chapter, I want to read a few verses beginning with verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. And it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins." Isn't that great? "And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And I'm going to stop reading there for now. And the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart to speak about here before this congregation of people today is having fellowship with God. And I want you today that are here that know the Lord to ask yourself that question. Do I have fellowship with God? Now, it's obvious to me that the things that I have read here today from this first chapter of the first epistle of John was speaking to those who are saved. It wouldn't make any sense to think of John trying to urge and encourage people who are not regenerated, people who are not born again, to have fellowship with God. They can't do that. They can't have fellowship with God until they come into a relationship with God. And so he's talking about having fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. And there is a difference between having a relationship with God and having fellowship with God. Those of us who have been saved by God's grace, we have a right relationship with the Lord. We are his children. He is our heavenly Father. And we know from the teachings of his word that nothing is ever going to change that. Nothing is ever going to take away that relationship that we have with God. We are saved by his grace. We are kept by his power. We are eternally secure in that. And nothing will ever change the fact that those who have truly been saved are his child and he is our Father. And we have an eternal relationship with the Lord. But John wasn't speaking here about that. He was talking about having fellowship with God. And that is based largely upon how we live and how we act and the things that we do and the things that we don't do as His people. And I'm not going to try to give a dictionary definition or anything like that today, but I think that we all understand the meaning of fellowship. Later on, when we go downstairs and we're going to have a meal and we're going to sit together and we're going to communicate with one another, we're going to visit with each other for a while, we're going to be having fellowship. We're going to be having an interaction one with another. There are times, if you think of within the human family, if you think of siblings that grew up with each other, and they grow up, and sometimes people go their different ways. They live apart from each. I don't live around any of the brothers and sisters that I grew up with. And sometimes in life we part, and we will always have the relationship that we had as children. We are still siblings. We are still brothers and sisters. But our fellowship is not as close, perhaps, as it was when we were children and we all lived, under the same roof in the same house together. And so, fellowship, there is, as I said, there is an interaction there that takes place. We are having fellowship with each other. So John was talking about us having fellowship with God. And he said this, he said, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, I think oftentimes that there are those that after that they are saved, that they think that based upon that, that everything is okay between them and God. It doesn't matter after that point. Nothing really matters after that point because I've been saved and everything is okay between me and the Lord. And, as far as the safety of your soul, as I said a moment ago, as far as the safety and the eternal security of your soul, that's true. But there are things that we must do and there is a way that we must live in order for our fellowship to be right with God. And John tells us here that if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we don't walk in His ways, we walk in darkness, that we are lying, that we're not telling the truth, and we don't have fellowship with Him when we follow after darkness. Now, we're not talking about nighttime here. We're talking about sin. The darkness that's being mentioned here is sin. It's walking in darkness is synonymous with the term if we are following after sin or if we are following after the things of the world, then we don't have fellowship with God. There's something that's not right. We often, when talking about sinners, we often in preaching and in singing. We sing the song. It's commonly heard, I suppose, in revival meetings. Is your heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? And, that's certainly true if a person is unregenerated, if a person has not been saved by God's grace, then they need that change, that their heart may be right with God. But the Bible also, And perhaps if the Lord is willing, I will share some of these things with you today. But the Bible also talks about a way in which those who are saved, those who have been born again, that their heart being not right with God. And we have one great example of that that's found in the 51st Psalm, and perhaps we will be able to get to that here in a little bit. But it's very important that those who have a relationship with God also have a proper fellowship with God. And so the Bible tells us that when we get saved, and this is spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that when we get saved, that there's a great change that takes place in us. In fact, when we get saved, there is actually a creation that takes place. The Bible says in the second chapter of Ephesians, concerning those who are saved by grace, that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the Apostle Paul also spoke of that change that takes place within us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so there has been a change, a radical change, that has taken place within the inner man when we are saved. And so it's natural that part of us that has been changed, that spirit within that has undergone regeneration, it's natural for the inward man that has been changed to follow after righteousness, to follow after the things of the Lord, just as it's natural for those who have not been saved to follow after sinful things and to follow after worldly things. That, you know, we do that by our nature, don't we? That's what the Apostle Paul said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so when we're in that unregenerated state, it was natural for us to walk in darkness. But when we have been brought into light, when we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, then we are to walk in the light, as he is in the light. We are to live our lives according to the change that has taken place within us. And too often that doesn't happen. Too often there are those who have been saved that don't live according to the change. And John said that when we do that, that when we walk in the darkness, when we follow after sinful ways and walk on a sinful path, then we don't have fellowship with God. And you know, fellowship with God is a wonderful thing. It's pleasurable. It's enjoyable. It's blessed. To be have fellowship with God is a wonderful thing. And I'll tell you what, we are not going to be influential in this world. We are not going to influence other people if we ourselves are out of fellowship with the Lord. And that's proven to us again in the 51st Psalm. And so, Lord willing, I will get there here in a moment. But, we all of us, every one of us, every child of God, after that, you know, we have been saved, we still have that nature of Adam in the outward man. We still have that nature in the flesh, and we are all capable of doing that which we should not do. We are capable of doing things that God told us not to do, and we are capable of not doing things that He told us that we are to do. We are capable of all of us of drifting away from the Lord. And so John tells us that we have an advocate, that there is a remedy when this happens. What happens when our sin, what happens when those things that we are guilty of, that we shouldn't be, threaten and challenge our fellowship with God? What do we do about that? And the Bible tells us here that, first of all, none of us can say that we're without sin, can we? Because if we do, we're just telling a big fat lie. We're just lying. And, you know, the sad part of it is that if we do that, John said we deceive ourselves. You know, it's sad that there are so many people in the world that are deceived about so many things. It's sad that there are people that would deceive other people. It's really sad for people to deceive themselves. And John said if we say that we're without sin, that's exactly what we do. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But he also said this, that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, one of the things that I love reading about through the Old Testament is God's dealings with the nation of Israel. There were so many times that they would just leave God behind and go out their own way. They would just go off and they would follow other things. They would follow after other gods. They would follow after the things of the world. And they would just forsake Him and just leave Him behind. But you know, the Lord would be there and He would be pleading with them. He would be calling unto them, come back, return unto me, repent of your sins and come back unto me and I'll take you in. God will do that for us, won't He? You know, when we have fallen out of fellowship with Him, the Lord says, come back to me, return unto me. You know, repentance is not just for the unregenerated people. It's for the saints as well. And we need that. And perhaps oftentimes that's much of the problem is that there's not enough repentance among us as God's people. Perhaps we carry things with us that we should not. Rather than, as John instructed us here, rather than coming to the Lord and confessing these things and laying them down at the feet of the Lord and asking for forgiveness, we hang on to these things and cherish them instead of letting them go. And I pray that, you know, we talk oftentimes and we desire oftentimes, it seems, that God would send His conviction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon those who are lost. Well, listen, we need to desire that God would send conviction upon us as well and convict us of the things that we're guilty of, that we should not be, that we might be able to forsake sin. You know, we find in the Scriptures time and time again that the Lord calling to His people to repent. We find in the second and the third chapter of Revelation the Lord Jesus telling churches that they needed to repent of their wrongdoings and make right the problem, that we might have fellowship with Him. Listen, there are things when we are lost, there are things that we have fellowship with, that when we get saved, we are to no longer have fellowship with those things. That's what baptism symbolizes. That the old sinful man is being buried. That old sinful man has died and he's being buried. And he's coming forth to walk in a new way. To walk in the newness of life. And there are things that we had pleasure in when we were in our lost condition that we are no longer to have pleasure in, that we are to lay them down and forsake them for the sake of the Lord and for fellowship with God. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5. He said, "For ye were sometimes darkness," talking about their prior condition of being lost, "for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." And he says, "Walk as children of light." And in verse 11 of that same chapter, he said, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And so, if we're going to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, there are things that we must not do. There are things that we must forsake. John said in this same epistle in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Boy, that's plaguing us today. Listen, the love for worldly, temporal things is plaguing us. It is. It's plaguing. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these things are not of God, they're of the world." And you know what John said? "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, there are some that take that to mean that he's talking about a person that's not saved anyway. I don't believe that's what he meant. I believe he was talking about God's people loving the world. What did he mean when he said, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him"? Well, you know what Jesus said? He said, "No man can serve two masters." It cannot be done. And so if we love the world and we set our affections on that, on the temporal things of this life, and that's what gets our attention and that's what gets our devotion, then the love of God is going to be crowded out, isn't it? The love that we ought to have for the Lord, we're going to push it out. If we are just attracted to this temporal mess, then we're not going to display our love for God. We're just not. You just can't do both. Jesus Christ, I'll take Jesus Christ at his word. He said it cannot be done. We cannot serve God and mammon. And so we are not to love the world. That's not to be what excites us and motivates us and attracts us. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, he said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Paul said, don't seek these worldly things because you have died to them. You have died to them. And listen, to be dead to sin is the same thing as being alive unto God. Alive unto God. And so, you know, there are certainly, there are what we might think of in our human thoughts. There are things that we might think of as big, oh my gosh, sins, big sins. And certainly, you know, we're not going to be able to have fellowship with God if we're committing sexual sins and violent sins and things of this nature. Certainly they're going to hinder our fellowship with God. And that's what we read about concerning the life of David, and that's exactly what he had done. He had got caught up in sexual sin, and that led to violent sin, and sin breeds sin, doesn't it? I'll tell you what, you let a person sin and start trying to cover that sin up, and you know what'll happen? They'll be sinning more. And that's exactly what David did. He tried, rather than confess those things to God, he tried to hide them. But you know what? You can't hide from God. He sees it all. And God sent the prophet Nathan to him to tell him, to let him know. God knows what you did. You are the man. He knows exactly what you've done. Listen to what David's plea was in Psalm 51. In verse 2, he said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. In verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Now listen to this. This is the plea of a man of God. This is the plea of a saved person that had sinned against God. He said in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. What? David, a man after God's own heart, was pleading with God that God would not take his Holy Spirit away from him? Well, we're not going to lose our salvation, but we can sure lose the blessing of it. We can sure lose the joy of it. We can lose the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life if we won't live right and we won't obey the Lord. And he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now listen, I believe that David well understood that until he got things right with God, he was not going to influence anybody. Because this is what he said after he made that plea to God, that God would create in him a clean heart, that God would forgive him of these sins, and that he would have a right heart with God again and have the joy of his salvation restored. He said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know, I pray, my prayer is that we, as God's people, that as we approach our revival effort, that we'll get right with God. Amen. You know, that we will repent of the things that we need to repent of. You know, because listen, it doesn't take certainly these things that David was guilty of hindered his fellowship with God. But it doesn't have to be the sin of adultery. It doesn't have to be a violent sin. There are things that we can do that we can allow the devil to distract us from the things of God, to where we just become cold and we become indifferent to spiritual things, and we can get so busy and so wrapped up in our temporal life that consumes our time, that it consumes our thoughts, and all we think about is what's happening here, what's happening pertaining to the things of this life, and we can become far distant from the Lord. We sure can. But God will reunite, He will reignite us. He will. He'll revive us. I pray that we'll be able, you know, we got a few days here before we begin a revival effort. And I pray that, you know, whatever is in our hearts that's hindering us, whatever that we have in our life that's hindering us, that we'll repent of that before the Lord and get rid of it, that we might be free to worship and to serve. I'd like to be closer to the Lord, wouldn't you? Amen. And I believe that we can get closer to the Lord. You know, overall, as a people in this land, as missionary Baptist, you know, we're rapidly declining. We are rapidly declining. I mean, there are churches that are in big trouble. There are churches that are on the brink of extinction, of just going out of existence. And much of that is due to indifference and just a desire for the things of the world rather than the things of the Lord. We need to have our hearts right. Listen, if we're going to see revival, we need to have our hearts right with God. Those are my thoughts. That's what the Lord placed upon my heart today. And I want you to pray for me. I'll pray for you. Pray for one another that we'll have fellowship with God. You know, that we'll be walking in the way that He would have us to do. Listen, if you just neglect God's word, if you neglect prayer, if you just go through your week and none of it has anything to do with God, and you come to church on Sunday morning, you're going to be cold. You're going to be cold. There's preparation of the heart that must take place in order for us to be where we ought to be with God. Brother Strode, let's have a song.
Number 359, verses 1 and 3. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace in mind, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.